You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started.
Is there music in the background?
As well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Well, at least you're not... At least you can sing.
Well, who knows?
Who knows? My daughter says I can't sing, but I say she got a good voice.
I don't think you're tone deaf, though.
I am not tone deaf. There's something. Well, is between tone deaf and deaf, tone deaf, and singing. There is a spectrum.
Yes.
My daughter
now, isn't your daughter like this amazing singer?
She's kind of a big deal.
Okay.
She's sung in the Nashville Symphony. She's
really? Wow.
Sung at the Trinity College at the Book of Kells in Ireland. So she's kind of a big. She has many leather-bound books. Her office smells of rich mahogany.
Which is she's taking after her father.
Get the obscure cultural reference there?
Yes, of course,
I don't know. I don't know if you had movies in Canada. So,
hey, you know your wife is Canadian.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
All right. Well,
in fact, I will tell you, in the current political season, I'm thinking of moving to Canada.
Yes. Well, it's kind of crazy right now.
Yeah. It's kind of a little
nuts.
Didn't
you hear the access that Trump and Clinton now have to the White House briefings?
Yeah. Should be interesting. Should be interesting. So, but on the other hand, Trudeau.
Yes,
is one of the few people who actually admit smoking pot while in office.
Yes, and so, he's the one that'll walk in parades in public. You know, he'll like without a security detail, in the midst of everyone.
It's Canada. It's Canada. Who's gonna mess with Canada? Canada's It's America's hat. It's up there.
Yeah, well,
nice
at least
things.
We don't all carry guns. So
yeah, it's true. That's true. That's
Did
true.
You hear about this? In Texas, you can now carry on campus.
Is there a problem with this? It's America.
All right. Well, this is not the point of our talk.
Yes,
interestingly enough, we have our favorite listener from Canada who has left a question
from Saskatoon?
For us. Yes, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan. But they have guns in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, but you have like three locks on them before you can access.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
You have the trigger lock. You have the ammo in another, and then you have the gun in another.
It's kind of like... cold Texas.
Yeah. Well,
so
I'd say Alberta's
more cold
like
Texas.
Texas.
But Saskatoon still has that vibe.
Yeah.
It's still the West. What would that be like? Cold Colorado?
It's probably, that area of Texas and Mexico where no one lives.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's probably where Saskatchewan is.
Wow. I'd like to apologize to the people of Saskatchewan.
Okay. Anyway. Not in Saskatoon. Okay. And let's listen to Rob.
All right.
Daniel, congratulations on podcast number 100. This is Rob Clark up from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, where everything is great right now. My question for you is this. If you are fortunate enough to have enough budget to bring on a second staff member, what would be the best and most influential use of your money in hiring a second staff member for the new church? Thanks. Appreciate all that you guys are doing.
All right. So let's first begin with the theology of why we don't use the word fortunate in Christian ministry. Because it's not about fortune. It's not luck.
Yes.
It's providence. Even if you're an Arminian, you still are not believing in that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, sorry. Okay. So we're saying he's never going to leave a question again. All right. So you want to jump in? You want me to jump in?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just some preamble with the question. I mean, obviously, there are assumptions right behind what Rob has said. So if he's talking about bringing on a second staff member, what I'm hearing from that is that he's full time, or the main church planter is full time paid, and this is now bringing on someone else who is paid, maybe part time or full time, but someone who's going to be dedicated to the work with him.
Yeah. So if you're the church planter and you're beginning solo, which is, by far the most common scenario. We actually have some, this is years old now. Okay. But then when I did my PhD dissertation, we actually looked at some of the staffing factors, and it seemed that the best staffing scenario was full-time pastor, part-time worship leader, volunteer, everybody else.
Yeah.
And so that's more than a decade old. So here's a couple of principles I would run from, run through my thinking grid on this. First, hire a generalist, not a specialist. This is not time to hire a youth pastor, not time to hire a children's pastor, but to hire somebody who at this point, if it's you and that person, mm-hmm. I think you want to make sure that he or she is very much a generalist overseeing volunteers in those areas. So you as the pastor, Rob as the pastor, and then the person that Rob hires is still basically functioning and is as this overseer of volunteers. Mm-hmm. Second thing is, I would very certainly be sure and work to make certain that the new person doesn't disempower volunteers.
Yeah,
that's important. Which would be ironic, as you hire somebody and all of a sudden people are like, well, paid staff's here. No. We want to make sure that the new person actually continues to raise up more volunteers. Matter of fact, I would make that part of the evaluative process.
Yeah. I mean, that's Ephesians 4, right?
Yeah. I mean, give them pastors, teachers to equip God's people for works of ministry. So I want a staff to ongoing effective ministry. That really makes a difference. I would say, thirdly, when we think about adding this person, I want to make sure that I've communicated that we need to build new spheres. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not just here's Rob's sphere, and then we bring along staff member number two, and he or she starts pastoring and overseeing and working with the same people that Rob's working with. No, that doesn't make any sense. So this person, who knows? I mean, are they going to be overseeing five different ministries? Okay, then they need to be leading Bible studies and creating new venues of ministry over here, mm-hmm. so that we're not taking, who knows, I mean, 75 people, let's say, in a church plant. We're not double pastoring 75 people.
Yes, that's good.
So I think, I mean, those are some general principles. Now, here's the deal. The situation varies from place to place. I would love to have a worship person who has skills in small groups as well. I mean, to me, that's the best scenario, mm-hmm. is a worship person. But worship people, let's be honest, can we talk about worship people? Sometimes they kind of got a niche, and
you're right.
They sort of stay in that niche. But I want to get them out of it.
Yeah.
And so if I can find a worship person to go oversee small groups and assimilation, that to me is the sweet spot.
Yeah. And I mean, when you are looking for a worship person who oversees small groups and assimilation, I mean, oftentimes they have to be more of an equipper than a doer. Right. Because if you're going to be able to oversee three large ministry areas, I mean, you can't necessarily be leading and doing all of them.
But and the worship leaders tend to be, we should have a whole episode just talking about worship leaders. Let's get a fake question from somebody, because I got some thoughts about worship leaders. Because I was a worship leader. Did you know that?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I was too.
Were you really?
Yeah. No, what did you play?
Guitar. Or do you, okay. I still play guitar. Of course, thank you very much. You can't be a church planner enough.
Exactly,
it's like the law. It's right there in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians verses 11. So anyway, so for me, I mean, I just, that's the sweet spot. But worship pastors, worship leaders tend to they're doers, they're leading it, they're doing it rather than overseeing it. But that's the sweet spot, because for me, you got to have, at least in English speaking Western culture, worship leadership is really, really high priority.
Yeah.
And so, I think that's for a whole series of cultural reasons. So you might end up with, let's say, and Rob's really talking about hiring a full-time person. Mm-hmm. You might start with Rob, part-time worship leader, and then full-time person, generalist, who oversees multiple ministries. Actually, you know what's funny? I'd almost make that person executive pastor. I wouldn't probably call it that, because I think functionally that, if you're running 100 people or 200 people walking around, here's my executive pastor. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the trends too, right?
Yeah, it's a big trend. It's a big trend. But a generalist who oversees volunteers, and that's what executive pastor is supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Again, just don't cross the streams, to use a Ghostbusters reference.
Yeah.
Because what do I mean by that? Let Rob pastor the people and the small groups that Rob's overseeing. Some may transfer to the new pastor that he hires, but let's make sure that we don't overlap and basically pastor the same 100 people with two pastors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where, I mean, the second person, as an often quoted Jim Collins reference, get the right people on the bus and then figure out where you're going to seat them. So, I mean, that's where I've seen situations where you had an amazing worship leader who was a volunteer. Right. So then when you're hiring your second staff member, don't hire a worship pastor, right? Don't hire a pastor who is gifted at worship if you have a volunteer who is so strong in that area.
That's good.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to disempower that volunteer.
Yeah. And I would really try to, I had a lot of argument with that last church I planted, Grace Church. Jimmy Disney is the pastor now. He's the executive pastor there and great partner to work with. We always...
Now, is he related to Walt?
He is not related to Walt. But when he goes to Disney World, people like joke with him and say, sure, your name's Jimmy Disney. And then they look and they're like, oh, Mr. Disney, would you like our special rooms?
He's like, does he get any perks there?
I don't think he takes them, but he's okay. Like, people suddenly think okay. He's a member of the Disney family. But we often, we were trying to, it's hard. I want to confess to you, it's hard. And we wrestled with this the whole time, is... We don't want to build a culture of payment for our volunteers.
Yes.
And so what I want to get to now, again, it's some places it's different. Some places everybody pays their musicians, but every worship leader I know thinks that all musicians should be paid.
Yep.
So I constantly wrestle with, no, we can't do it. So we had to build up volunteer teams, and we had two campuses, and one we did better at than the other. Mm. But I want to move away from contract musicians and get to people who love this church. Yeah. This is their home. So I pay the worship pastor, but I don't want to pay the rest.
And here's the thing. It's like once you cross that line to begin paying your musicians, it's really hard to go the other way.
Yeah. Who else are you going to pay too? You know, who else you're going to pay, but you're right. So what we did, we started with all contract musicians and slowly we tried to raise up volunteers, but then you're like, oh, okay, you're a volunteer. You're putting in as many hours, but no money for you.
Yeah. I mean, one of the other, you know, I guess lines that you could say are, hey, we are going to pay the equippers of the work of ministry rather than the doers.
I think that's a good line. And we love everybody, but we need to have the doers be the ones who actually make that work.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that's the only way that it can be scalable too. Yeah. Now, on previous episodes, similar questions like this have come up where Todd and I have talked about staffing and who to hire next. And this is one of the ideas that I've never actually heard anyone talk about other than Todd. And this is what he said. If you are hiring, let's say, two additional staff members, what you want them to do is one to be a man and to be, let's say, internal or external ministries focused, and the other to be a woman and to be internal or external ministry. So let me explain.
Okay. Yeah. Cause it's kind of weird. I'm intrigued by this.
Yeah. It's fascinating. So what he says,
nothing goes better than talking about gender dynamics now. Let's do that.
So one of the staff members, right? Yeah. If they are a female, then they would oversee, let's say, women's ministry or female small groups. And then she would take either the internal or external ministry. Okay. So if it's internal, it means, you know, discipleship, volunteer assimilation. And if the other staff member is a male, right, they could oversee the men's ministry or men's small groups, and then focus on all the external ministries, which would be volunteering outside the church. Right. And so basically to kind of split it up between internal and external.
One takes internal and then both sort of, okay. I hadn't thought about that.
You need the right people to do that, totally. But it's an interesting division of labor.
What's the reason?
Because then what you're doing is obviously you're focusing on equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Right. So you're not hiring specialists.
Oh, okay, I got you.
You're hiring generalists who are then, so let's say the internal might be overseeing children's
worship. Okay, so I think you're not crossing the streams, as I mentioned earlier.
And then that person is equipping a volunteer who is leading the children's ministry. Or maybe they have specialty in children's ministry.
I would say that makes sense.
They lead it and then they equip it out.
I just didn't see the gender connection. But
whole men's, women's discipleship dynamics.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That makes some sense. It's fascinating.
And that way you're not kind of having your wife unassumingly expecting your wife to mentor all the women's small groups,
which is often what I hear from a lot of my friends. So
Okay, good, fair enough.
Yeah. So what do you think about that?
I think I would want to hear fleshed out a little more, but I think conceptually I like it. I'm really a believer in raising up and empowering women leaders because I think that becomes key so that half your church, probably more than half your church, didn't sit around saying, how come there's no women who actually have any leadership at this church?
Yeah.
And so I think that's a good thing. I like the division of labor. One of my concerns in churches, as I said, is sort of over-pastoring a small group rather than creating new groups to pastor. So I think that's key. So I think that that makes some sense. Of course, it kind of assumes you have two positions to fill, which is hard early on. So what I would say is to... raise up leaders that are both have leaders who are both men and women, and depending on your context, hopefully some ethnic and racial diversity as well. And then there may be assignments that are specific to that. You said men lead the men's ministry, women lead the women's ministry. There may be assignments that are not specific to that. Mm-hmm. Is that you got a very gifted leader You know, she might be overseeing small groups, you know, yeah. he might be, you know, overseeing outreach ministries. But I love the idea of clear delineation of roles in the staff, because I think to me, that's where churches stumble. Matter of fact, and again, this is years ago, it's over a decade now with this PhD research, is that I think that if I recall, more staff members actually hindered at some point, because basically, you know, you got three pastors, all pastoring the same 12 people at the beginning. Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So, just to end off this podcast, the big thing here is not when you find the person that you want to bring on, try not to find someone who is exactly like you. And this is the importance of knowing who you are and your strengths and your weaknesses. Because unless you are aware of that, our tendency is to want to work with people who are exactly like us. So be aware of your own strengths and your weaknesses and try to find individuals who can complement those weaknesses and have, you know, different types of strengths to be able to add that roundedness to your team. Well, thanks again for submitting that question. If you have any other questions, feel free to submit them in at newchurches.com. You can hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, or on if you're on your mobile device,
go to... It's not a voicemail, though.
Yeah, well,
which you shouldn't call it that. You should be accurate.
Well, it is an online voicemail.
It's not a voicemail. Online. It's a audio recording. It's not like, hey, they called us up on the phone.
Well, yeah, so you're right. Okay, I mean, if you want to get down to that nitty-gritty.
If you want to spend your time talking about stupid stuff.
And if you're on your mobile device, go to speakpipe.com/newchurches.
Speakpipe.com.
Yeah, we will catch you next time.
Peace out.